try to see HIV. Professional fighters have to go through these exams. They're getting punched and kicked in the head. Amateur athletes, all that is required is a physical, a basic physical, and the blood work. So there's no testing for pre-existing brain injuries or cardiovascular issues. To me, it seems like it should be the other way around. The pro fighters are the ones that have been evaluated by the commission already to make sure they have defensive skills, make sure they have the ability to stop punches, kicks, and submissions. The amateurs, they don't have that same review by the commission ahead of time. So to me, it's backwards. They're getting punched and kicked to the head. They aren't being checked or tested for pre-existing conditions, yet they don't have any headgear. That's a problem. I think if the state of California should lean towards fighter safety, like they keep saying, we've been forward thinking with the seatbelt law, with motorcycle helmet law. I think amateur headgear should be required. I definitely think having 18-year-old high school kids getting punched and kicked in the head is not a good idea. I think 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old college-aged kids should not be getting punched and kicked to the head, and I don't have to be a doctor to know that. So that's my thought on the headgear. One other quick thing. As a professional promoter, we're being damaged quite a bit. CAMA was allowing and encouraging their amateur promoters to pay their amateur athletes. The definition of amateur, everywhere I've looked, I've talked to other athletic commissions, and absolutely any payment to the fighters will render their amateur status gone. It's a violation of the United States Olympic Committee, NCAA, International Olympic Committee. California is the only state in the union that allows their fighters to be paid. My business partner spoke with Lappin directly. We've also filed a claim with CAMO. I'd like to...
You can leave it with the sergeant and they'll give it to us. Okay. Are you almost done?
Yeah. Okay. A lot of the pro promoters that we compete with have converted to amateur. Why? Because they don't have the same fee structure that we have to pay as pro promoters. We have to pay way more fees, surprise, surprise, to the state than CAMO does, than CAMO requires these amateur promoters. Furthermore, the pro fighters have $700 to $1,500 in medical exams they have to pay for. Amateur fighters, $175, you're good to go. Get in the ring, get punched and kicked in the head. I would also like to say these pro promoters are presenting the events, or these amateur promoters are presenting these events as if they're pro. I'd like to provide you guys a couple samples. I'm sorry they got damaged in the flight up here, but if you look at these posters and these other CAMO approved amateur events, nowhere on it, it's very confusing to the consumer, nowhere on these does it state it's an amateur event. Mixed martial arts, there's cages, there's guys punching, kicking. It's confusing.
Do you want to leave that with us?
Sure.
Do you need it?
No, okay. That's fine. Okay. This is mine.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. We're not able to compete. We have amateur promoters presenting themselves as if it's professional. Our fee structure is way higher than theirs. Our fighters have to pay way more for their medical exams than the amateur fighters. That's why so many of our competitors are going to amateur, so we can't compete. So to bring this to an end, with all due respect, it's my humble opinion that number one, headgear must be required for amateur athletes. Number two, we cannot allow amateur fighters to be paid, and it's happening. It happened 2 days ago, someone I know at a CAMO event, and Lappin himself told my partner and have told other promoters that it's perfectly acceptable to pay them a percentage of the tickets they sell for the event, and it's outlined. And it's clearly a violation of California law and CAMO's own rules. It's in that paperwork I gave you.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming up here and testifying. Did you want to ask?
Yeah.
No.
just talk about a few of the points that he brought up briefly. One, I would like to thank him for pointing out how low our fees are. And you just heard a pro promoter here address the fact that our fees are so low that they can't compete. So I would like you to take that into consideration as well when we were talking about the fact that our fees are so high. Some people are saying our fees are high. Here's a person who's saying our fees are way too low for them to compete. In terms of headgear, that issue was looked at very closely when we did the delegation process. We talked to a number of people, advisors. All the top people in the industry feel that headgear is actually more dangerous in terms of amateur mixed martial arts. Getting caught in submission holds, Mr. Dodd actually is a former wrestler, can speak to this as well. It is actually more dangerous to wear the headgear. I think Mr. De La O, where he's coming from, where many of his comments take place, is that he's concerned about the confusion between amateur and pro, which is one of the reasons why he brought up the headgear during the delegation process too, is because he wants the amateurs to be able to be clearly defined as amateurs and not to compete with the pro selling of a ticket to a professional show, that you can clearly differentiate. That's why our amateurs wear rash guards. They all wear rash guards, so you can clearly denote
what the
difference.
Heck is a rash guard?
A rash guard is a tight shirt. It's like a spandex shirt that they wear during it. It's like a jersey or a uniform that they wear during, so you can differentiate.
They don't have rash and they're guarding against it.
No, okay. I hope not. Okay. Also, on the promotional material, it is required that it clearly denotes that they're amateur fights. So they have to wear the rash guards and has to
clearly. You all use funny kind of terminology.
Sorry about that. And it has to clearly denote that these are amateur fights. So I wanted to point out that. In terms of ticket sales, yeah, they just served that complaint to us on Friday, which we got. And we're going to look at that. We're going to have a hearing about it because they've asked for it. So we'll do that. One, it's not a health and safety issue, obviously. So that can be pushed aside. Our position on the matter is that if they're being paid a reasonable commission rate on a ticket sale, they're being paid to sell tickets. If the promoter would give anyone that percentage rate to sell tickets, then that's the fees that they're getting. If they don't fight, they still keep those commissions. So they're giving these kids 10% or something like that of the tickets that they actually sell. So they're being paid as a ticket seller. They're not being paid to fight. There's a difference there. That commission, the promoter would give to anybody. It's what happens in promotions, is they give people who are going to move a lot of tickets, they give them a commission to have them move more tickets. They give them an incentive. So they're not being paid to fight. They're being paid to sell tickets. And it's a reasonable percentage, which is what we require, and it has to be a reasonable percentage that they would give to anyone. So that's our position on that. In terms of pancreation, and I just met Mr. Frank for the first time outside, and he seems like a very nice man, and I'm sure the organization that he does is great. One of the issues to consider with pancreation, which is why it's important that there's oversight, for every John Frank, there's 100 promoters who try to put on an event that they call pancreation, but it's actually mixed martial arts. That when people don't show up, they were doing illegal fights, but coining them pancreation, and then when the commission wasn't there, they were punching to the head. So that's what was going on. People were using pancreation to get in. Whether you want to govern a purely pancreation fight is a different matter. I think it's important. I think that they should have insurance. I think that should be required at those pancreation events. There's still some danger involved. I don't think a blood test, requiring an athlete to have a blood test, is a bad thing. And those are really the parts that they're concerned about that's making it cost prohibitive, because our fee is only $500 to do the event. They don't like the ambulance being there and a doctor being there, and they don't like to have insurance, and they don't like to have the fighters to have blood tests. I will also point out that Mr. Frank, he charges his competitors $45 entrance fee for one day to compete in a one-day tournament. They have to pay $45. So just to put that in perspective, we charge $115 for a year. They can fight as many times as they want for free, and they get about $120 worth of merchandise for free on top of that. So I would just like to point out that he is charging $45 entrance fee to his competitors to participate in one day of an event that has, I believe, doesn't have insurance, doesn't have ambulance.
Did you have a specific question?
Want to address those comments?
Yes. Yeah. No, we got to keep going. I got to get out of here.
Just let them address it. I mean, those are pretty, they're starting to attack each other. What can you say?
It's, some of our events we do charge, not always 45. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. It costs a lot of money to run these events. We have at least 2 certified athletic trainers to provide medical support. We do have insurance, liability insurance. We have a program that we want to set up where we can get every fighter for an entire year, $25,000 secondary medical insurance to cover every event they go into and every sanctioned practice as well. This will help athletes that don't have medical insurance. It will become their primary. In order to do this, we have to be allowed to function.
Okay.
And,
major point, which is clarified some points. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much for sitting through the hearing. I think the hearing brought up more questions than it answered.
Madam Chair, I'd like to say thank you very much for the time, and I think you're right. This brought up more questions than it answered, but I think it makes the point that we do need to follow up with another hearing or two, and looks like we may have some legislative issues we need to address as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, all. Thank you.